Jung thought of the self as a four-dimensional entity that extended across time and space. That was the totality of you.
It's the absence of consciousness that is creating terminal crisis.
The ultimate reality, not God in a politically kingly sense, but God in the sense of being the self.
We are the ones we have been waiting for. Our world needs us now.
Hello, and welcome to the Connect and Evolve podcast. My name is Ben Holt, and it is an honor to introduce you to some of the greatest health and wellness experts, artists, spiritual teachers, and innovators of our time. The intention of this podcast is to provide you with the necessary tools and understanding to create a beautiful life full of empowerment, abundance, and sovereignty for you and your loved ones. Through conscious conversations and guided experiences, we will be expanding to new horizons and discovering what it means to be fully expressed. So thank you so much for being here, and without further ado, let's dive in. Hey, 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 how's it going, dear family? Welcome to the third episode of the Connect and Evolve podcast. It's an honor to have you here. My name is Ben Holtz. I am your host. And today's episode is with an amazing guest named Nicole Peltier. She is actually our primary yoga facilitator at the Connect and Evolve retreats. So super stoked to talk to her. She has 20 years plus of yoga knowledge and facilitation, and she's a rock star. So super excited to have her on the show today. And before we drop into the show, I want to give you a quick shout out from our sponsors. First and foremost, the sponsor of today's episode, appropriately, is Connect and Evolve Sacred Embodiment Retreats. We have five beautiful retreats happening this year, and the next one happening is March 16th through 20th. It's going to be in Sedona. It's going to entail deep embodiment practices, yoga, breathwork, meditation, qigong, connection exercises, deep nature immersion, healthy, organic, gluten-free, dairy-free meals that are filling and delicious. Come explore your humanity, come explore your spirit, and come connect with other human beings, eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand. We have no prejudice, no mandates, no BS that you have to navigate here at these retreats. Show up and be catered to in every way, in mind, body, and spirit. If you want to learn more about that, go to connectandevolve.com. You should see it on our homepage, the upcoming retreats, and you can also go direct to connectandevolve.com/retreats. Let me know that you heard about the retreats on the podcast, and I will give you a sweet little discount. All right, our next sponsor, really quickly, is In Harmony Interactive. My brother Craig Goldberg at IamInHarmony.com created the most epic meditation technology known to man through vibroacoustics and healing frequencies. His technology helps you to meditate longer, stronger, and to drop into meditation anytime after using the technology. So I don't want to hype it up too much. Go read about it yourself at IamInHarmony.com. Use the code Ben Holtz at checkout for $44.44 off of the meditation cushion. All right. Much love, everyone. Without further ado, let's get into this amazing episode with my dear sister, good friend, and epic yoga facilitator, Nicole Peltier. How are you, sister?
I'm having a birthday today, so I was already doing great, but it's just got exponentially better. Lots of warm messages from friends and family. I just feel super loved. So you're catching me at a really prime, happy time day.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I'm great. Great. I'm super happy to be here. Thank you for your invitation.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happiest of days. Wonderful. Well, I really wanted to have you on here because, you know, at the last Connect and Evolve retreat, Sacred Embodiment retreat, you taught yoga, and I was just really impressed, and I've always been really impressed whenever you teach. I just really like your style, you know, the way that you come in and you flow with the class really effortlessly, but you also push people to their edge and maybe help them to discover if they have a new edge there that they didn't know about. And I love that. I think it's really excellent for the flow that we try to create, the container at the retreats, especially with medicine and just discovering new new areas of the self, you know, new capacities of what we're truly capable of. So if you don't mind, give a quick backstory on what brought you to yoga and what brought you to becoming this powerful teacher.
Well, I really appreciate that. Well, I waitressed from the time I was 15, mm-hmm. and I was a runner from the time I was 10. So you can imagine the condition my body was in. When 28 rolled around, I was breaking down on every level you can imagine, because just trying to keep it together, physically, mentally, spiritually, I was just falling apart. And I didn't have access to like a massage every day or any kind of therapy. So I had, this is so shallow, but I saw Madonna on a music awards, and she raised her trophy and said, "Thank you, India." And she had these beautiful arms, and I just already just admired her so much. And I was thinking, well, if she does yoga, then, I mean, it's definitely something that I would want to do. And then I started going to yoga. And I have to admit, I did not like it. I did not like it because I was tight and stressed. And I felt like, you know, as a runner and an athlete, that I needed to be going faster to get a benefit. It just was so slow. Moved to Santa Cruz, California, and yoga was on every corner. So it just kind of adopted me. I couldn't get out of it. And I did yoga every day because the days that I went in the beginning, I was struggling so much that I had this kind of grit drive about things that benefited and hurt me. All of our strengths are also our weaknesses, but it was that I've got to do this because I want to like have it. It felt like it was always just so, I couldn't grasp yoga. I still am reaching for it. It's unattainable. It's always just a little bit further away. So I was challenged and I wanted to be able to triumph over it like you can in other sports. And it's just not possible, which is good, right? But I also was struggling with an eating disorder. And alcohol, addictive drinking, and exercise addiction. I mean, I want to say you name it, I had it, but that's not really the case. I didn't have issues with other things. These were the main players. And yoga was a way to stop running from myself and dulling myself. And it was scary. And it was frustrating, but there was, you know, that voice inside that said, but this is the way through.
Yeah.
You can go around, but this is the way through. And so I was just, my soul signed up for classes. My body, my mind said, we're busy, but my soul ultimately won. And then I moved back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I grew up in 2000. And there was just no yoga here. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know. I had to teach it to have it. And I was very insecure about speaking in public. It was just, you know, it was very difficult, but I persevered for the sake of my practice. I wanted to be able to have yoga for me. And so I gave it out and therefore I was able to receive it. And I opened a studio in 2001, which was the first yoga studio in Tulsa. And
the yoga room.
I can keep going on, but that's how it all started. Out of suffering.
I love this story, and you know, I find that the most powerful healers, teachers, and guides come from suffering, right? It's like the wounded healers are the ones who are able to hold the most powerful and potent space. And your story is one of perseverance, as you said, which I absolutely love. In 2001, you opened the yoga room in Tulsa, and then you went on this 20-year beautiful rampage of teaching all over the country. At yoga festivals, running your yoga studio, and you developed something called Raven Yoga, which has been really awesome for me to witness and to practice whenever I get to. And so tell us a little bit more about that, what Raven Yoga is and how that personifies Nicole, how it shares your medicine through that specific type.
And I have a feather on because I love feathers, and blackbirds are kind of my thing, and it symbolizes freedom. And, you know, if you ask yourself, well, what does freedom mean to me? I mean, you might think, well, being out of jail or being single or being able to eat whatever I want. I mean, everybody has their own idea of what freedom is. But for me, I was in a prison of my own design of what pleasure meant. Mm-hmm. And so I drank alcoholically as a reward, as a way of, you know, calming down, celebrating. It was all it fit all these things.
Sure.
And it also was, I called it my birdcage of diamonds because cage is still a cage, no matter how well it's decorated. A prison is still a prison, even if you have beautiful things on the wall. You're still in prison. Yeah. And I felt like alcohol was that weird, I wanted it and hated it the same amount. I craved and I regretted it with equal drive. So it had me. It had me coming and going. And but as a, this is a phrase I wrote about in my blog, an alcoholic athlete, I was able to pull it off really well. I was a symbol of health and wellness. I taught yoga every day and I was out running and I was, you know, showing up at CrossFit and winning, you know, like I looked like I had it together. Yeah. And inside I was tormented in that prison, that bird cage. If you put a raven or any bird rather, just say any bird in a cage, they are not able to spread their wings. So therefore, they're not able to do what they were born to do. So this prison of my obsession / addiction kept me in a birdcage where I wasn't able to fly. So after, and I'll just say, I drank. And, you know, it's not that I don't have any problem with anybody's drinking. This was just my the thing that got me the worst, the thing that kept me down, and it was my vice of choice. I would choose that over other things like relationships and love. And I was just really caught. But I was spending so much time like navigating and negotiating my drinking relationship that when I finally, you know, got out of it, which was 20 years from the, it was weird. It was like a contract because I started when I was, you know, like I started drinking after college because I didn't have time, energy, or money to drink. I was working through college and I just didn't have the opportunity that I was so looking forward to. And then when I did drink, you know, it became something that I was trying to like, oh, I'm going to have this and juggle it. And 20 years to that month, it was over. Now, when it was over, I had a new freedom that they call in AA, the pink cloud. I was just like, wow, I'm so happy I sleep and I can think. And I felt like I had my mind and my body back. So about a week after I quit drinking, I was laying in bed. This is kind of an interesting story. And, I was alone in my home, and nobody was there, and my animals were down in their bedroom, a whole floor away, and I had been I was awakened by a voice, and I was laying in such a peaceful place because I hadn't really slept well for so long because alcohol interrupted my sleep so much, but this voice said, Nicole, and my heart started thumping. I opened my eyes knowing that this was some entity. And I'd never been spoken to by a non-human before. but I just knew like this was safe and there was somebody speaking to me. And she said, teach the addicts. And she was a woman that I admired, another yoga teacher who had committed suicide months before because of alcohol. And I had gone to her service and I was just broken about it. But it inspired me to finally get serious about putting it down. And she came to me. Mm. And as she did, it was like I was 1,000% yes. And it was almost like the image that I had because of her and going to her service and seeing birds everywhere, I just knew it had to be something about flying. And so I immediately came up with Raven. I started a small group called the White Ravens, which was seven women, to quit drinking. Three had already quit and four were yoga teachers like me. And we just met every Sunday and we worked on the steps and we did it all. You know, it's a job. You don't just say bye-bye. I mean, not everybody can just say bye-bye. You have to really, you know, unravel what was so thirsty.
Right.
And so as you grab your water, so thirsty, what is vodka. So thirsty? Oh no, we got work to do. You need to come to my Raven yoga class.
Yeah, I need more Raven yoga. That's what it is.
So it was started then. And then I worked with the women. We worked together for several months. And then people start asking, what's so different about you? Because I looked different. I sounded different. I talked different. Everything changed. And so
those wings were open.
Yeah, I was flying around. I mean, awkwardly, I say, you know, if you've been in a cage for 20 years and you fly, you're still born to fly, but you're going to run into some windows. I mean, right. I was kind of like, but eventually it was too fluid to ignore. And people wanted to know what I was doing. Like, I want what you have. And so I made it public, Raven Yoga. And then I trademarked it because it was so important to me that it was protected.
Right.
And people weren't just out teaching yoga. And I called it Raven Yoga for Freedom, which is freedom from anything that holds you back. It could be a love addiction or, you know, anything, food. A lot of people come and they don't have a problem with alcohol. Their problem is this little puppy.
Yeah. We all have our addictions, you know, whatever they are. We all have our little bits of addictions. I mean, anything from... morning ritual with a cup of coffee to pornography to the smartphone to Instagram, dopamine, whatever it is, you know, we all carry something that is some form of an addiction. I'm actually reading my buddy's book right now, Ronnie Landis's book, The Addiction Free Lifestyle, and it goes into dopamine detox and resetting and integrating that, and I'm very excited to put some of those practices into play. But
I know Ronnie.
You know Ronnie? Oh, cool.
I do.
I actually was hanging out with him the other day in Austin.
Oh, well, tell him I said hi. He'll probably remember me. I've been in conferences and things with him. So, yeah, I know him.
Oh, that's awesome. He's a great guy. Some raw food conferences, I imagine. Awesome. So, you know, originally Raven Yoga was designed to help people to kind of it is designed to help people be free of any addictions or anything that's holding them back. And I love how you've now brought it into the space of plant medicine, deep dive breath work, these more powerful transcendental experiences that people can have at retreats, for example. And I love that you've implemented it into that space where it's a kind of like a precursor. It's a preparation practice before somebody goes into the deep dive, deep into their psyche, deep into the subconscious, deep into the spiritual realms, the shamanic realms. And I'd love for you to touch a little bit on that and how it's really great for preparing people to go into those experiences and what it kind of looks like, a Raven Yoga class and its intention, basically.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah.
It's definitely evolved. Because in the small culture that I was working with here in Tulsa, it was really people who were just in the thick of their addiction and they were coming for a way to release it through the body. You know, they say, and I saw you had the same book, The Body Keeps the Score. And one of my mentors, Nikki Myers, says, and the issues are in the tissues. So we can sit and talk about things, but when we move, we're actually able to physically express our belief system and wring out some things, literally like ring out in our bodies, our souls, and our like psyche, instead of just sitting and talking about what we'd like to let go of. It's a physical expression. So because we're all recovering from something, and what draws people to the bigger healing, like a sound bath, or breath work, or plant medicine ceremonies, or a sweat lodge. I mean, they're looking to let something go so they can let something in. No, they're not just showing up because it's fun. They're coming to transform, to elevate, you know? And they know it's not going to be easy. We can do hard things, and we're going to get the benefit of that effort. So Raven Yoga has evolved into a way to just really get truthful and ready physically for what you're getting ready to step in, even if it's just to step into a sound bath, which is so amazing. The best sound baths I've ever been to is with you, Ben. I'm just your biggest fan. All the different sounds that you deliver, it's unbelievable. So if you haven't done Ben's sound bath, you know, you'll wear an eye mask like everybody does, but you'll have to just lift it up to see if it's really him and it's really live, because it's almost unbelievable. Anyway, back to me. So it is, I don't talk about addictions anymore. It's, because we're all recovering. We're all recovering from things, you know? Maybe a breakup, or, you know, you moved from one house to another. There's changes is, you know, we underestimate how much we actually need to mourn things that have left our lives, friends, family, animals. I mean, so
especially right when now we are,
there's so much change happening, it's can't even keep up with it. There's no status quo, there's no normal.
We're unlearning,
unlearning and mourning constantly. We're just blowing in the wind, vulnerable, wondering which direction to go, but our compass, the GPS, is inside. Won't tell you that.
The gut, the heart.
But yoga has been telling us that for a long time. But, you know, I've taught all the kinds of yoga, and I love it. I still do. I'm teaching a rock and roll class on Sunday, which is sold out because it's so fun. And we do need to have fun and be playful. But when we've been covered up, they call it recovery, because we've been covered up. We recover ourselves. We lost that playful side of ourselves sometimes, our childlike energy, where we can just really, like, enjoy this moment without needing something to stimulate it or validate it. So it's recovering that childlike energy. And Raven Yoga is basically saying, let's get free. Let's be free from that obsession, from that, you know, let's move through the morning. So it's not a celebration necessarily. It's an emancipation and a way to, like, be in all of you right now, whatever you are. And that is what you can bring to the plant medicine because you have just surrendered.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like
body, mind, and soul, you're ready, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the Raven Yoga tackles like a few different areas that are really necessary before something like plant medicine, which is, you know, opening up the energy centers in the body, loosening the body, right? Because our internal compass is the gut, the heart, you know, the issues in the tissues. It's such a powerful statement because it's so true. You know, whenever we experience truth, we experience it viscerally in our bodies. Whenever we experience trauma, we experience it viscerally in our bodies. It doesn't happen up here. It doesn't go through the filter of the brain, the prefrontal cortex. And so opening up the nadis, as a yogi would say, is very important to be able to release and receive energy, to create space and then fill the space. And then I feel like Raven Yoga is also like shadow work yoga, which is really cool.
Because
it has
that's my word.
Yeah, the shadow aspect.
It's everybody's word. It's so popular right now. It's very popular. Everybody's talking about shadow work, just, you know.
It's the coolest kind of work.
It used to be like not cool.
Right.
Like it was the thing that the people who are broken had to do. But we're all broken. We all know that now.
We're learning it all.
We're wanting to get to our light. Yeah. It's our divine gift. And that is a trip. It's a voyage within. And yep. It's dark and it's stormy and it's rainy. And then we get to the the sunshine, but you know, you got to go through the storm, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're coming out of an era of numbing,
mm-hmm.
the numbing devices, and I'm not putting anything down because they have saved our lives.
Yep.
But you know, that whole like just pause the suffering. Oh, you should be over that by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable. You shouldn't suffer. So take this or drink that or buy that, and then you will eliminate it. No, it doesn't go away. It just moves some other little pocket, and it just gets bigger and is waiting and yelling. It's a first a whisper, and then it's a voice, and then it's a yell, and then it literally like starts to tear things down.
Kicks
so there's
the door
no
in.
There's no way through out.
Yep.
Except for through.
That's how God speaks to us, right? Little intuitive whispers, and then it gets a little louder, and then just kicks the door in, right? Hey man, time to move.
That's what Let's happened to me, you know. Yep. And 2 years ago went through a divorce, and I had underestimated how painful it would be. I was, you know, I thought in my mind that this made sense, you know,
right.
And it logically, but the body keeps the score, and my heart needed time to really just mourn the change.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be like, well, I should be over this by now, but some things,
that's your style.
You know, like, oh, it's noon, I think I'm fine. I think we, through movies and songs and social media, we go down, we lick our wounds, and then we think we just soar back up. But it is like the phoenix.
Yeah.
It's a burning of the whole enterprise goes down.
Mm.
You know, it is a rebirth. It all gets burned down.
Yeah.
And I don't think we talk about that because we think, oh, we're good because we think we should be.
Yep.
But, you know, there's this whole Dark Night of the Soul movement coming up, and a lot of people are going through, they're experiencing delayed suffering, you know, called delayed gratification, like delayed suffering. They haven't necessarily really mended from that that thing that happened then. It just keeps building. And I'm here to say, the light is brighter than the dark. I mean, it is worth the work. And I'm so proud of you and what you're doing, Ben, and Kendall, and the organizations that you create and the efforts to give people a space to enter, to open, heal, see, let go, let in, and then integrate that instead of like, you know, this day and age where everything is like, you know, boom, fast. And you're like, no, let's really hold this space.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud to be a part of that. But it's people like you and Kendall, the light workers, that are helping us get through this, like the most stressful time of this earth. You know, it's very stressful energetically.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think it, you know, I appreciate that deeply, and I believe that it's both. You know, you have the light workers, right, which are more, you know, this is the practice to make you feel good, this is the et cetera, this is the, you know, the gratitude meditations, et cetera. But really, ultimately, where the deepest healing comes from is through observing the shadows, is through, you know, and this is how trauma is typically resolved, is, you know, these experiences that we've had in our lives are scattered, and fragmented all over our psyche and our emotional body and our physical body. And the way to resolve it is to remember it, right? Allow yourself to be, you know, make sure you're able to self-regulate. So you're able to take deep diaphragmatic breaths, regulate your nervous system. That way, whenever you remember it, you're not viscerally triggered by it. And then you can put it in a timeline. This is what happened to me. And it's in the past now. And now we're present. And until we remember, right, then we can't resolve. And, you know, Peter Levine and a few other trauma specialists have different ways of approaching this. But typically, this is the way to approach trauma. And trauma can look like anything. There's so many different types of trauma, right? There's we can even call the conditioning we've all been subjected to, whether it's the Western junk food diet, the media, mainstream media, television, how we've been taught by our parents who didn't know any better, how to navigate relationships, how to be intimate, all of these things, you know, that we're recovering from all of this. And, you know, until we have a safe place to really navigate and discover and to process those things, then we can't really begin to do it in a powerful way. That safe space that's created is number one, numero uno. And I find that you do a wonderful job at that. And so it's through that safe space and through that shadow work and through that community, you know, being held, that really allows something to be healed. And yeah, I love the Raven Yoga. I love the concept of it. Mm-hmm. And I love the way you execute it. Execute, it's kind of in alignment with the shadows there, how you project it and share it with the world, share your medicine. So thank you for what you're doing, Nicole. I really appreciate it.
I just realized there's a raven like in the background. <You see? laughs> I'm like, okay, well, we are being like,
it's, you on know. Your shoulder. Yeah
Well, it's like, yeah,
it's interesting.
There's always one around, yeah.
When we were up in Vermont for our medicine retreat, which was a weekend retreat, which I'm not really super stoked on doing weekend medicine retreats for that exact reason. Like, you know, how I learned to facilitate a proper container is through these, you know, 3-day Bufo ayahuasca weekend retreats where everybody gets blasted into the smithereens and then gets sent home with, you know, and then the food there is like shitty cheeseburgers and donuts. You know, that was my training grounds, and which I'm really grateful for, you know, similar to you, the experience that you had with your alcohol addiction, I also had with seeing the kind of the opposite of the light, you know, this like this fabrication of what things are supposed to be. And it really taught me so much more. But anyway, like, back to the Vermont, we came up to this beautiful retreat center space in Vermont in the mountains. And as soon as we walked in, there was this big stuffed raven up on the mantelpiece. And I'm like, oh, look at that. That's kind of creepy.
Oh, that's illegal now.
Yeah, like, that's kind of creepy. And then there was all of these amazing, relics and like pieces of history and all kinds of really cool stuff, maps and stones in this display case. And one of them was Shalom, had a stone with Shalom in it. And I have Shalom tattooed on my chest. And I was like, this place is magical.
Wow. But that does sound magical.
Yeah, it was a
cool. I love Vermont.
Vermont's
I love
cool.
Vermont.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Cooler in the summertime. You're like buried in snow in the winter there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But I want to go a little bit deeper than just Raven Yoga for you, Nicole. And what yoga really means to you, because, you know, yoga in the West has been, it's been, you know, kind of modified to fit our way of life here in the Western society. And, you know, originally yoga is union, right? Is this map, this lens to create union with our creator. And ultimately asana was this method of opening up the energy centers and stretching the body so that we can sit in meditation longer, for anybody who doesn't know that. And it's been changed and transformed. And so I believe that with this change and transformation, let me just say, I think the change and transformation is necessary for the different cultures in which new practices are implemented, or old practices are implemented into new cultures. So to say that more clearly, such as like with plant medicine, you know, there's a lot of this neo-shamanism in the West, a lot of, you know, white people serving medicine. And while we're also giving, we're giving reverence and we're giving appreciation and we're carrying tradition, we're not also being married to the tradition. We're not being rigid in the way that we share medicine. We're actually implementing these traditions, but also, you know, putting our own perspective and approach on the service of the medicine itself. And so this is the same exact thing that's happening with yoga. And your yoga is a great example of that, your own unique version of yoga that's going to be really appealing to a lot of people who have experienced similar things to what you've experienced. And so just going deeper, what is yoga to you? You know, when we say yoga, union, what does it really, really mean to you on a fundamental, deep spiritual level?
A self-love ritual. To extrapolate, I mean, to get to that place, I'll go backwards and say that I, as I stated, I had, you know, eating disorders and exercise addiction. And to go more specifically in that, I was looking for perfectionism.
Right.
And I was a control addict. I wanted to have control. That's where a lot of the addiction to food is you want to control something.
Right.
It's, you know, you want at least the illusion that you can control something. And this also leads back to what we're doing now with the evolution of, you know, shamanism and plant medicine is that what we find is a lot of mostly women, because of my experience with this, is that we've got a lot of people that have lived in this way of thinking that we have to be something other than what we are to survive, to fit in, to be in the clan, to be accepted in the community and all this. And so we've contorted, like, spiritually, emotionally, physically, to fit in. And, you know, what I ended up finding as my body was breaking down was that I was really running fast towards being somebody that I'm not.
Yeah.
And yoga was, you know, like this ancient practice that I went into because my hamstrings were tight. And
I wonder how many old yogis in India went into yoga because their hamstrings were tight.
Their ham bones were like stiff. And I wanted to look more like Madonna, which I ended up doing.
I think that's unique to you, not the yogis, though, for sure. That
Well, you know, here's the thing. And this is what I want to share, too, is that when I started teaching yoga, I was trying to be another yoga teacher. I was trying to be all the teachers that I had taken classes from. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until that first rock and roll yoga class that I taught. I teach a class called Rock and Roll, and it's to the beat of the music, and it's loud. I wear a microphone. It's blasting. It's heavy metal. It's all the things. It wasn't until I did that that I felt like I am me here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I brought my own thing, and this is the point I want to pull around, is that there was a lot of people who felt safe coming to rock and roll yoga because they didn't think, oh, we're going to eye gaze. I'm going to have to sit. My knees are, you know, tight. I can't, you know, we're, they felt like they can go. It threw them in. Tons of people. 50 people every Friday night.
Yep.
Then after taking a couple of those classes, they were like, oh, it was like the door open and they were like, well, maybe I can take yoga. So hundreds, if not thousands of people that I've, you know, that my studio, just because it was a very big studio and lots, thousands and thousands of people came because of rock and roll.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a safe place for them to start. But for me, what all these things that I tried, and I've taught a lot of different kinds of yoga, and I still teach, a class called All Rise. We play gospel music. It's on Sunday morning. It's like going to church yoga.
It's different than Raven Yoga. It's kind of the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. It's cool. And then, I teach a primal dance class, no mats, and it's like drums, and, we wear like, savage clothing, and it's really fun by a fire. And then I teach, this rock and hip hop or live yoga with a band.
Yeah.
And for me, to answer your question, yoga gave me. It gave me license to put my own style and creativity out into the world, because thank you, yoga, just like Madonna said, because it gave me an opportunity, like a platform to be authentic. And when you are authentic, you, Ben, me, Nicole, and we do it with this like brazen, like hear me roar, we give everybody permission to do that too. So it lights up the room. So yoga in general is a coming back to claiming that I'm good enough, and my perfectionism and people pleasing and approval junkie that I've called myself in the past, and the need to control, all got softened because I didn't have to fit into their role or what I thought that the society wanted me to fit in anymore. Yoga is just this one breath, right?
Yeah.
Which is mine, and it's just me, and it's God, inside the breath. So I'm like, okay, I don't have to try to be something. I don't even have to try. I can just unfold.
Yep, absolutely. Me.
And so that's what yoga has given me so much, but it also has allowed me to just... be
yourself,
and so many others, giving them permission to just be whatever they are.
Yeah,
that's freedom.
Absolutely. And it also is kind of like, I feel like it's your yoga is my music, in retrospect, to the thing that really gave me freedom to express myself as a performer. And we talked about this the other day at the retreat, as some people think of the word performer or performance and are automatically turned off by that. But in reality, I forget the exact words that I said while we were in that ceremony, but being our performance and our ability to perform is it's almost like the vehicle that delivers the message that comes from a place of deep authenticity and deep love. Like if there is a message that needs to be shared, the ones who are going to share it the most powerfully are the charismatic leaders and the performers. And someone who can step into that role of, this is the message that I'm sharing, lend me your ear. And everybody, when you're a performer, your people are magnetically attracted to what you have to share and what you have to say. And that's obviously been used, misused, I should say, a lot, right? These charismatic leaders that have been guiding people down a really shitty path. But when you're intentional and you mean well and you want to share something that's really, really going to help someone navigate their own journey, this was Jesus. He was a great charismatic leader. He was a rebel. He was a performer. He'd get up on tables and say, "Hey, lend me your ear. Everybody listen to me." All over the place, and bring his homies with him as he did it, his entourage. There's a lot of examples of Jesus living today, and sharing his messages and having their entourage come with them. And for me, he's a big inspiration. I want to, what would Jesus do? That little bracelet is so much more meaningful than just a little bracelet. What would he do right now? Would he hop up on a table and say, "What's up, everybody? If you wanna learn something about spirit, then this is what I have to share." And if those who are interested in what he's saying will listen. And to me, that's being, fearless and unapologetic in my expression from my heart is something that has, just like you, brought me to a place of knowing myself and experiencing myself, so that I'm not having to conform to a box or conform to a some type of expression that someone else has there for me. It's broken that conditioning for me. And so I just, you know, through our teachings, I encourage everyone to be indoctrinated into their own unique truth, right? What is that truth? Mm-hmm. Because it's not the truth that your parents set up for you. It's not the truth that that mm-hmm. job has in mind for you, most likely, right? 9 times out of 10, it's not the truth that your partner, your relationship, your romantic partner even has for you. Only you can know that. And once you know that, there's no turning back. Mm-hmm. You can turn back, but the more you know about your own unique truth and step away from it, the more you are going to be tortured, right? The more God's going to kick in the door immediately, right?
Here's her again.
God's going to just rip the roof off your house, say, hey, what the hell are you doing? You're like, oh, what in the heavens? It. Yeah.
Okay.
And, okay. You know, but I'm sure you've experienced this where we know it's best, and then we might mingle over here, over to where we know what's not best, and then we automatically get just like gripped by the cane of the conductor and just ripped back over to where we are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And
yep,
that unique truth is so unique, right? And it breaks the chain of conditioning. It breaks the chain, and we're all subjected to this. You know, in this life. We are here to, as we said earlier, unlearn everything. Everything we've been taught, we're here to unlearn it. This is the game of life. Welcome to 2021 on Earth, third dimension, boss level, COVID, all the shit, right? Life. We are here to unlearn it all. And this mm-hmm. COVID experience has been such a powerful catalyst for that to happen. Yeah. And so many people are experiencing, these are the best years of my life. You look at the news, mm-hmm. fucking chaos. There's fires, there's no toilet paper left, you know, there's no gas, yeah. You know, the food shortages, inflation, mm-hmm. all the things. And Nicole, has this been the best 2 years of your life?
Yeah.
Yep. Same.
Yeah.
It has.
And I mean, and some of the hardest.
Sure. You know, exactly.
That's the way that's the polarity. Yeah.
Absolutely. Some of the most challenging, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, our awakening as a species is not supposed to be easy. If you go through your own personal individualized awakening, right, where you are being indoctrinated into your own unique truth and you have to completely unlearn everything that you've been taught and tell everyone that's taught you those things, this is me now, take it or leave it, that is not supposed to be easy. And so it's very important to have like-minded, beautiful people around you and to have practices and tools to feed your frequency, Raven Yoga being one of them, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dynamic breath work, sonic neuro breath work, mm-hmm. meditation, qigong. There's so many tools that we have at our disposal, and there are people out there. You know, for those of you who are listening to this that feel alone, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that are just now coming into their unique truth and starting to express that are not alone. And you will find the others. You know, when we fully agree, when we fully arrive and show up as our true authentic self, guess what? Other beings, expressions of us, expressions of God, are going to also show up as their true authentic selves and be a magnet for you, and you'll be a magnet for them. Next thing you know, you'll have an amazing team of absolute, beautiful, amazing, mm-hmm. amazing facilitators, healers, seekers, guides, that you'll be able to share your medicine with them and they'll be able to share it with you. And I'm just so grateful mm-hmm. to have you as one of those people in my life, Nicole.
Oh, I am so grateful to have you as one of those people, my soul family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how you said that. It's kind of like a radio station I just tuned into, and then other people that are like playing that music, they're like, oh, I like that song, and we all get to vibrate at that frequency. And,
Absolutely.
It's encouraging for me. It's like, well, what am I putting out there? What vibration am I emanating? Because that's what I'm going to receive. So I better be happy with what I'm putting out.
That's it. And it better be authentic, right?
Yeah. Authenticity is a new thing, though, because we were not trained to. We were
yep.
put in, you know, like, this is how we act, and this is what we say, and this is what we don't say, and this is what we do, and this is what we dress, how we dress, and this is, you know, and so... Exactly, unlearning and reclaiming what is true, and that's not going to look like anybody else.
Right.
And we hear this all the time, but it is a passion project, because if you don't just remind yourself every day, like I it's okay for me to not do that thing or to do this. I was just literally on the phone with my sister right before this podcast, and I was like, you know, because today's my birthday, I was like, I have a new way of being in relationships with friends, and I'm so proud of myself because I just so clear now. I don't fuss around with like, well, I don't know. I'm like, this is it. This is where I stand.
Yeah.
And it feels so healthy to communicate, not in, you know, you can say what you mean without being mean, but I just like, this is what I expect and this is what I put out there. And if it's not going to work for you, that's okay. Right. But I'm like, not ashamed of that. Like you said, right. Unapologetically, I'm like, this is where I am. And I'm so happy. It's taken me a long time.
Well, and you know, the thing is, at first, whenever we begin to unapologetically share our truth, right, with love, of course, not in a douchey way, the people who are surrounding us are typically the people who have been conditioning us to live in the opposite, right? The people who are not living from their authentic truth. That's at first, right? And this is something that so many people deal with. My parents don't agree with me. My partner doesn't agree with me. Nobody understands me. I'm alone. And you know, how many people experience this? So many people, right? And over time, those relationships begin to fall to the wayside and you start to build new relationships. And the beauty of this is then you can reintroduce yourself into the old relationships with a new paradigm of loving them, right? Like a totally new experience of, oh my gosh, I unconditionally love you, but this is who I am now. And then what happens from there? You're no longer influenced by them. So what happens from there? Now you're an influence for them. You're a positive influence for them.
Yes, and like I said, it's taken me a long time because my fear of being exiled or excommunicated out of the tribe, where in our DNA literally is survival.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, you are out in the woods by yourself, you ain't gonna survive. So we have this like, gotta make it work. And some of us take that too far. You know, that's straight up people pleasing. Like, I gotta make sure you're happy with me, even though I'm not happy with me. As long as you're happy with me, we're gonna be okay. And so I literally unlearned that this is that I'm needing to be accepted into anybody's expectations of me to survive. I can be accepted, but it's not my survival anymore.
Right.
And so you cannot accept me and I'm be okay. It just takes a whole perspective change.
Right.
And when I look at me and go, you know what, Nicole, I got my back. Yeah. I'm my pack leader. Mm-hmm. I'm my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're awesome, but they're not, I don't live and die by that. And mm-hmm. so it's been a whole shift and I love family and I love friends and I love the tribe and I love the community, but I put everything out there. We can't give from an empty cup. We can't give love more than we can love ourselves. So I had to like completely, you know, burn it down
and Absolutely.
Start like this little seed.
Plant the seed, know? Nurture the seed, give it good water.
Little seed. Yeah.
Good fertile soil. Yeah.
Now I'm this like, okay.
You're the phoenix.
Okay. But it does take a while. So be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll end up like Nicole. The phoenix.
Money back guarantee.
I called you that the other day. I'm like, you're like a phoenix.
Call now and you'll be me.
Right. For 15 minutes. Yeah. It's your new coaching program.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to have to go through what I've been through, but.
WWND, right? What would Nicole
Yes.
do? That's what we need.
Oh, what would I do? Oh my gosh. Well,
some yoga.
It takes a minute to ask myself because the conditioning of like what's acceptable.
Sure.
It's so deep. It's so deep.
Absolutely. But,
you don't need 20 years of yoga and you don't need a therapy. All the things that we used to think to get here now, the practices that I think you're implementing and you're offering are opportunities to kind of like expedite at least the cracking of that, the armor.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's just the beginning. Yeah. But it is, it's like we have these beautiful rituals and medicines now available to us. Thank you. Right. Yeah. Thank you, tribes and elders and shaman and those who've come before us. Thank you for making this possible for us.
Planet Earth.
And
Pachamama.
So it's like we have the, you know, the injury, but we also have the medicine, you know, we have the break, but we have the therapy to heal. So we're in good hands.
We have the wound and the first aid kit, you know? And
yeah, we have. Yes, exactly.
Everything's there. And, you know, yes, we have accelerants. You know, I wanted to touch on this. We have the plant medicine. We have deep dive breath work. We have, you know, it's very powerful, fast, transformative coaching and guidance. But all of those have to come back into a practice of embodiment, right? What are we doing each and every day, or what are we doing consistently to really ground in the core values from these experiences that we're having, right? You say, oh my gosh, I realized this about myself. Well, that can easily be lost if you're not implementing that realization into your daily life. And where does that implementation happen? What happens in the body, right? Moving the body, opening the body, conditioning the body, becoming in the body. You know, everybody's trying to go out, right? The plant medicine kind of offers us this opportunity to go out into the astral realm. But our ultimate goal in the way of the evolved human is not going out. As new earth keepers, we have to be one with the earth. We have to go into the body. And whether it's mindfulness, Vipassana, yoga, Qigong, or all the above, cold plunge, diet, food, you know, water, how we're hydrating, everything, breath work, you know, my practice entails a lot of these different practices and just allows me to feel good during the day. It's not even like, you know, it makes me feel exceptional, but if I don't do the practices in the morning, after having all these psychedelic experiences that I have had, if I don't come back to my practices in the morning, then I feel dismantled. I feel disembodied. And really, ultimately, where I'm going to be the most powerful leader and powerfully express myself unapologetically with love, it's going to come from me feeling present and grounded and good in my body. And so this is where the yoga comes into play. You know, we have the accelerants, but we also have the what I call staple practices, which is, you know, a practice that really brings you to that new level of awareness. And then we have the maintenance practices, and this is yoga. And so I absolutely love yoga, and I love your yoga instruction, Nicole. And I'm just so honored to have you on my team. For everybody that's interested in a Connect and Evolve retreat in 2022, Nicole's going to be there for as many as we can get her to be, and she's going to be teaching yoga, and it's such a treat. I'm you know, when I get to the retreats, I'm like, oh yes, I get to eat this delicious food all week for free.
I know. I'm like, so, yay, I get it.
And
I
also get to be like
part of this great stuff.
I get to also do yoga all week for free, right? And Qigong. Yes. And so yoga, you know, Nicole's medicine is very tangible. I don't do that for everything that happens at the retreat. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm going to go work on some other stuff while this is happening. And you know, there's so many things that go on behind the scenes, but when Nicole teaches, I show up. And so grateful for you, so, sister, so and bad. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I want to add one more thing before we part, if we're parting, that I totally agree. I did go to Colombia and went and did plant medicine and and I tried a lot of different things. The ayahuasca and and I was in the jungle, and I've been to the desert 6 times for ceremonies and and you know, yoga and breath work is medicine.
Absolutely.
Like that's, I went to a yoga class last night. It was a yoga class and a breath work. I can't say that I've gone to a deeper healing level in any other form. I mean, we have, I mean, plant medicine's great, but
it is.
We really, you're right. Like it's these very tangible, very accessible, bringing it together with breath work and the sound baths, I mean the music medicine and the yoga practices and the integration and the just the philosophy and the stuff that you deliver.
Mm. And the breath and the yoga.
And then plant medicine or no plant medicine.
Yeah.
Plant medicine or no plant medicine. You can have it or not. You're gonna get broken open, you know?
Yep. Yep. And you only need you. Like, I could show up with nothing and do yoga and breath work. You know,
yeah,
that's all you need. Mm-hmm. You just your body. And that's why we have this body, is to express and to move and to feel and to breathe. Mm-hmm. It's so simple and so potent. Yeah. Let me just say, it's very potent. And again, some of the most potent medicine that I've received in yoga is from Unicole. So thank you so much.
Aww.
So, Miss Nicole, where can everybody learn more about you and your epicness? Because we didn't even go into the Tool yoga, the rock and roll yoga, the rock.
How did we not talk about Tool?
We didn't talk about Tool. It might have been slightly intentional on my part because
you'd be you don't want to Maynard steal the thunder.
All right. We don't have to talk about thunder. Tool. So people can go learn more about Tool yoga. Where, Nicole?
Well, I have a website. It's the Yoga Room. Oh, sorry. It's Nicole Peltier Yoga. It's my name. Mm-hmm. I have a yoga studio that I teach at called the Yoga Room Tulsa. And I also, you know, I travel a lot. So on my website is my schedule, which includes your schedule. I have a lot of other things that I do. I'm teaching women's retreats in Mexico, and I've got things going on in Arkansas and Colorado. And so I would love to have, you know, people meet me at your retreats and some of the retreats I do out here. And then they start kind of following and going, because it's good. Our collaborations are so deep, you know. So I would love to, you know, have people. And I do online classes. So I teach online classes a lot. So on my website, you can find that.
Right, and you will be teaching some online classes for the new Connect and Evolve network.
I love online classes.
Yes, it might even be live by the time that this goes out. I have no idea, but awesome. So NicolePeltier.com, the one and only.
No, Nicole Peltier Yoga.
Yoga.com. Okay, get it right.
Yeah, gotta throw that word in there.
Cool.
Okay, show notes.
Instagram. Facebook.
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and now TikTok.
All right. Well, where can people find the Feather Report? Because that's
the Feather Report is on all of those platforms.
What's your name on the platforms?
3 minute. Huh?
What's your name on the platforms?
Nicole Peltier. Basically, I can give you those links too, but they're all Nicole Peltier.
Okay, just one word.
You know. Excellent. Yep, Nicole Peltier for all of my TikTok is Nicole Raven Yoga, because I'm trying to deliver more of the Raven stuff on TikTok. But Feather Report is just my little 3 minutes of like insight, and so it's a nice little touch base with what, you know, little helpful things. So
I see what you did there with the Feather Report. That's
I just slid it in.
That's pretty
just
great.
Feather. It just it just flew in.
Weather feather, you know, flew in. I got you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I did.
Awesome. Well, fantastic, Nicole. Thank you so much. And I just appreciate your medicine so much and what you have to offer. And so grateful to have you on the team. And
namaste.
Everybody, go check out Nicole. NicolePeltierYoga.com and find her wherever she is in the world.
And then reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to meet you. Yeah. Uh-oh. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Nicole.
So great. Happy chatting birthday. With you, and it's such a what a gift. This was like a straight up God present. Yeah,
present from God,
packaged so well, direct from God. So spirit, what present. A lovely gift.
Do you want to send us off with a mantra? Maybe you have any mantras you'd like to share?
Om Namo. Well, we started with Om Namo Guru Dev Namo. We can do Om Namah Shivaya. Okay.
Wonderful.
So, hands to prayer. And if you know it, sing along. Deep breath in, a long exhale. Or inhale to chant. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah. Shiva Namaha. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Namah Shivaya.
My voice is trash from being sick for the past week. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. I'm glad you led. And, you know, I didn't tell you the cadence that we were doing. I should have called you. I'm like, this is how it's going to go. This is how it's going to go.
I like following along. It's a good little challenge. Right.
Yeah.
I love Shiva. Fun fact, in Nepal, whenever I was I was trekking through Nepal, I had my bun and this huge beard. You can hear Rollo outside the door right now. And they call me Shiva Baba. And I was like, okay, cool. So I got to really embody my Shiva energy.
I was just singing your little lullaby.
Oh, it was in reference to me. Thank you so much.
Binabai, yes.
Awesome, Nicole. Well, have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful birthday. Everybody go check out Nicole and send you lots of love, sister. Many blessings.
Lots of love to you, brother. Aho. Namaste.
Peace and love. Aho. Until next time, everybody. Peace out. Yay. Much love.
Peace out.
Hey there, family, and thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, then I invite you to go and leave a 5-star review with some words of love and encouragement. I read each and every review, each and every comment, so you know that I'm going to feel that love in my heart and reflect it right back to you. Reviews are so important. They bring a big smile to my face, they motivate me and inspire me. So if you enjoyed the episode, please go let me know. And don't forget to go show our sponsors some love, guys. Our sponsors are amazing. They're amazing people with amazing products, amazing missions, and I love them. I buy every single product that sponsors this podcast, and I love each and every one of them. And I know you will too. There's only one way to find out, so go check them out, guys. Also, don't forget to go to connectandevolve.com and check out everything we have coming up for 2022. We have our Sacred Embodiment Retreats in Sedona, Arizona, 5 of them this year, and they're going to go quick, and I would love for you guys to be there. They're going to be incredible, super transformational, and it's just such a blessing to do this work in the beautiful Red Rocks of Sedona. So that's connectandevolve.com/retreats. Also, we have our breathwork facilitator trainings happening all year long, and they're the 6-week online powerhouse trainings where you learn how to share the power of the breath with the world and make a living doing it. We also have our quantum coaching and all the other healing offerings that we have there at connectandevolve.com. So go check it out, guys. In the meantime, I love you all. So much gratitude for each and every one of you. Remember that you are the light and that we are the keepers of the new earth. This is our time to shine, family. So go out there and thrive. Until next time, be blessed. Peace.